one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Living by faith. Hi.
Psalm 67. God will turn his son to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth, and thy saving help among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Amen.
Well, that's wonderful. I tell you, we got a sweet family, haven't we?
Amen.
The world may not understand, but we do.
Amen.
They may not all of them love us, but we love one another. Thank God for the fellowship we have in the enterprises. I tell you, we walk together. I'm going to preach today on He Shall Rise Again. I'm going through the New Testament, and the Lord seemed to impress me just to visit the funeral services that nearly were, but not quite. Jesus ran a little late on one of them, but he still got him out all right. Some of them, he beat them to the cemetery and cut them off, you know. Said, y'all going back home. And today, a lot of people think we're dead. We're not near dead. We're breathing perfectly normal this morning. That's good. Let's sing, Come Unto Me. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's sing about it.
Here's the blessed Savior.
Oh, yeah. Come on to the piano rest. And just come. Hey, I
want to thank you. Thank you, everybody.
That's right.
I am making you Disappointed, wandering here and there, dragging chains without
loving
him
and
bring your expertise and give a good
man.
Come I will give you rest. By temptation, often conquered again, has a sense of being right to sanctify you.
We're going to build again, and the Lord is going to give us freedom and liberty, and we don't have any trouble finding the girls. They're waiting. Of course, you've got to get them saved and converted and right before they can sing. And because they don't come here singing, they come here sighing and dying and crying. Those three characteristics. And they leave here singing and serving and having a good time in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Better days are ahead for God's people. Better days than we've ever... And I've had a lot of good days.
Amen.
Fact is, today is one of them.
Amen.
I tell you, the darker, the overcast, the more I lean on my instruments. You know the warning God's given me? He said, son, keep the right altitude and the right attitude.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'm watching you. I got you on my television screen. No, I got you on my radar screen. Let me tell you something. I'm looking at you. Got my eye right on you. Bible said he sees me everywhere I go, everywhere I am. It doesn't make a lot of difference. Valleys don't mean nothing to him. I'm glad the victory's mine in Christ. Turn your Bible, please. We're going to begin the message now and spend a little more time, maybe. We were in Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to be going back there again right now. And some new things jumped at me this morning when I eased along the trail of the 11th chapter. And we stopped where we had Enoch, you know, going through the clouds with Jesus. And said he pleased God, and he was not, for God took him and... He had this witness that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible, verse 6, impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then he tells us about Noah building an ark by faith, and was considered, I'm sure, the most unusual man of his day, and was... had faith enough to do what God told him to do, and he built the only hiding place that was safe when the flood came. Judgment was coming because sin was real, and judgment was sure, and they had only one place to hide, and Noah was working on that. And he got it together. Wasn't many people got in it, and there are not many people in it now. Say what you please, most people are outside the ark of safety right now.
Amen.
Most people are scared of life, don't know how to live it. Most people are scared of death, afraid to meet it. And most people will certainly be afraid of the judgment. Bible said to give another man once to die, and after that, the next stop will be the judgment.
Yeah. Yeah.
People don't like to think about that. The old preachers used to preach on the judgment. Oh, they'd preach on the judgment. And make you wish you's ready. Preachers used to be concerned. I was reading, Ms. Roloff mentioned about reading the life of Jonathan Edwards by his wife and the preacher's wife and the price no doubt she had to pay. Jonathan Edwards would preach so powerfully on the doctrine of hell and judgment that people would reach up and get the bench and hold on for dear life and say, "Don't let me fall into hell," and sit there and tremble and scream. Charles Wesley and Charles G. Finney and others. Brother, that's back when people got under conviction. No conviction, no conversion. All right? Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 11. That's 11 and 11. Through faith, also Sarah. That'd be good for the ladies, wouldn't it? See, most of these were men. But he pitched one in for the ladies, didn't he? He said, through faith also ladies, or Sarah, herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful. She considered God faithful. Because she judged him faithful who had made the promise, who'd promised. Now, verse 12 is my text. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. Is that us? As good as dead. The world says dead. You can't kill God. You can't kill the Bible. You can't kill the Holy Spirit either. And the Holy Spirit's in this home. I read the scripture and it gave me the conviction to do what we've done right here. Now, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now then, going down to the next, the 19th verse, accounting. He got over in God's accounting department. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in the figure. And so this morning, it won't make a lot of difference. Somebody's arguing the other day about whether Paul is dead over that Lystra, you know. Well, I said wouldn't make a lot of difference where he's dead or alive. I mean, he's nearly dead, I know that. And when he got in the next town, he started preaching so they didn't take him to the hospital. They didn't put him in no intensive care. So it's a miracle either way. It's either a miracle of healing or it's a miracle of reviving and bringing him back to life after he was dead. So it wouldn't make a lot of difference. All right, turn, please, to the book of John. The book of John, chapter 11. Now, this is one of the first verses that encouraged me one morning. And this is the experience of Jesus when he went over to visit. And they said, "You're too late now." Some people have said that, you know. You're too late. Can't too late to do anything. Oh, no. See, God's time schedule and ours may not be the same. Never too late for God. Fact is, God has a sweet habit. No, it's a frightful habit for us of waiting till everybody else fails and then he shows up. And then it makes for sure who did it. God really, if I could say it reverently, God can't work real good till everybody else is played out. He likes to walk across the battlefield after all the other boys have run off. And then he'd take a little old David and said, "All right, Goliath, you fixing to get it." Now, I want the message today to strengthen the faith and encourage the saints. We don't have anything to be afraid of. I tell you what, it put me in the slough of despair if somehow I just got over on that other side. Well, that'd kill me. You think if I was on the wrong side, if I woke up and found out I was wrong, that's impossible because we stand with the Word of God. And God's already blessed what we've been doing. That makes me know we're right. God never would have poured out His blessings on all of these homes. And I tell you something else makes me know I'm right. The devil's after us. I'd hate to think that that thing started playing on my team, wouldn't you? I mean, old Satan himself. Well, that'd be the day when the devil come up and said, you know, you're just doing so well on my team. I believe I'll help you. No, sir. We might as well face it, boys. Well, Jesus said, talking to Martha, and she said, I know that he shall rise again. But what did Jesus say in the 23rd verse? Thy brother shall rise again. Now, that little word shall could mean way down the road. But it so happened that it meant right away. And this morning when I tell you that the home, and let me tell you something, that's a fine bunch of boys over there. I mean, they're clean. They're gentlemen. And they've been taught to respect God. I spent the night with them, read the Bible, and they've learned to say amen and pray and play basketball, too. We had some real games. I tell you, those boys are normal and natural and spiritual and supernatural. I mean, that's right. We got some boys that are supermen. Amen? See, if a man's saved by the grace of God, he's a superman. The devil's crowd, you know, shows out and said, boy, I'm somebody. No, you're not. No, you're not. Oh, Goliath. Can you imagine David going out there? And Goliath looked at David, maybe had to put on his glasses to see him. Why, you little one, this is humiliating to me. Couldn't they send somebody bigger than you out here to fight? I mean, this is an insult to my strength. I imagine David, of course, he didn't try to show off because he knew he's going in the name of the Lord. But he could have said, well, you put on your britches one leg at a time just like I do. You see, I don't know how much you weigh or how tall you are. I just want to know how tall God is, and he's real tall. And I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And that's all the help I'm going to need. Did you know that David didn't say to his three big older brothers, y'all go with me now. I used to ask Melvin, you know, at night when Dad did, I'd forget to get the kindling. I was scared of the dark. I was the most nervous little boy you ever saw in your life. I mean, there just nothing could scare me like sundown. It just wear me out to look at the dark. I mean, I was scared to death. And I'd be sitting up there just fixing to go to bed, and my dad would look around behind the stove and said, Lester, yes, sir. Did you bring the cobs or the kindling for the fire in the morning? I said, I forgot to. Well, go get it. And brother, I was up and on my feet, and I said, Melvin, come go with me. Oh, go on, Les. Come go with me, Dale. Melvin! And brother, I tell you, I was serious about that, because I knew I had to be on the go. I couldn't stand there forever. My daddy just gave me so much time to be gone. And then that sweet mother's voice would say, Melvin, go on with him. You know he's afraid of the dark. And old Melvin get up, and it wasn't so bad after that. My big brother went with me. My older brother went with me. Amen. And sometimes the Lord says, son, go get me some kindling. It's out in the dark. And I said, Lord, I'm a little scared of that dark. He looks over to Jesus and said, go with him. Amen. Amen. Me and him wade right on through the dark, come back with a load of kindling. Yeah. Fire of burning. Amen. I'm not afraid of this dark place. I really not. I just praise God. I feel like something extra special is on its way. I really do. Yes, God's train. Running on time, and Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. And she said, I know. I know, I believe that. You've taught me about that. He shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. The last day. And Jesus said, the last day is standing here now. First day too. All the days, ancient of days is standing here. We don't have to wait till the last day. We'll get him now. Come on.
Let's go to the cemetery.
Have us a resurrection service. Brother, I don't believe that last day's far away. He said he'll rise again. He got out there and brought him from the dead. Turn to Genesis. This has been a blessing to me this morning. Genesis chapter 22. Now, they nearly had a funeral here, but God stepped in and stopped it. But it's in the 22nd chapter, and there's something sweet and special here. The 22nd chapter. The Lord came and said, take your son, thy only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. And I want you to offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, and which I will tell thee of. Didn't tell him which one, told him, said, you just take off, and I will tell you about the mountain. So Abraham rose up early in the morning, and I imagine, don't you, that this might have been the hardest assignment that Abraham ever received. But I got me a new thought about that. And Hebrews has already told me about it. Somebody said Abraham was worried. No, he was faithful. See, faith takes out the worry. Somebody said he really packed a broken heart. No, I think he appreciated the assignment. I know it seemed hard. He loved him, but it is all right. God gave that boy to him. And, of course, if he'd had a lot of doubt, he could have said, now, Lord, you know, I waited a long time, and you said that Isaac was going to be the father of the great nation, and, you know, you've already rejected Ishmael, and I told you over there, let him live, and we'd get along all right, and I kind of made that plan myself, me and Sarah together. And now then, you tell me to take my son up on the hill of Mount Moriah and offer him as a burnt sacrifice. He didn't argue about that. You see, faith is unreasonable. Are you listening? You can't reason faith out. You can't figure it out because you can't figure God out. And when you sit around trying to figure God out, you're wasting your time and you could wind up dishonoring God. I can't figure out this problem here. Don't need to. Just know that Romans 8:28 is still running just fine. Not worried about it at all. It's going to work out. And I think that we're just fixing to see the fireworks. Now, I don't mind the right kind of fireworks. I believe we're fixing to see because we're going to see God come walking across the battlefield. You watch and see. We're going to see a demonstration of God's grace and power. Now, we waited a long time, but the Lord is going to reveal himself and make bare his mighty arm. And so he goes on up to the hill, and he takes his son. He didn't have to explain. You don't find him explaining to his son, do you? See? You don't need a lot of explanations. We just need a revelation. He could have gotten his son, and they could have had a great crying party before they left, and he probably, I don't know, even told Sarah. Sarah didn't put up any fight about it, did she? He could have gone in and said, now then, Sarah, I might as well tell you. I just heard from heaven, and the message's not too good. I've got to go with Isaac, and I've got to offer him as a burnt sacrifice. Burnt offering. I mean, I'm going to have to take him up there. And, of course, Sarah, you know, and she could have cried and whined, but she didn't.
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff and the message, Peace Shall Rise Again. To receive this message on a CD, ask for offer number RO-3453-3453. And to help us cover shipping and handling, we ask for a gift of at least $10. We like to have today's date when you write and also the call letters to this radio station. Here's the address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And to use your credit card, call toll-free, 1-800-772-7507.
With Christmas rapidly approaching, our special offer this year is An Old-Fashioned Christmas by the Rebecca Choir, and Brother Roloff reading the Christmas story. Plus, While He Thought, a message about Joseph and Mary at the time of Christ's birth. Some of the most familiar songs are O Come Let Us Adore Him, O Come All You Faithful, and many, many more. We accept credit cards by calling 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. Now, to receive the music and the message, include at least $15 for the offer. That's $15. And the offer number is RO335-12. Or again, the offer is An Old-Fashioned Christmas, offer number 335-12. And include a gift of at least $15. Our toll-free number is 1-800-772-7507. And the address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. This is Gene Price, hoping that you all will have a wonderful holiday season, that you can worship and praise Him for His many, many blessings.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee, to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea.